This is Twit.
All right, big story. Big story broke a couple of days ago. Jack Dorsey very suddenly leaves Twitter. This is his tweet. Not sure anyone has heard, but I resigned from Twitter. It's from after 16 years of having a role at our company, from co-founder to CEO. We should say, by the way, I think a lot of people think Jack Dorsey invented Twitter.
Right.
That is not the case. He was at the company.
Jack Biz Ev.
And then the guy who invented it is a fourth person who thought had
the
this
fifth Beatle.
Yeah, I've forgotten his name now, as everybody else has. But they were swinging on the swing sets at South Park in San Francisco, and they were trying to figure out what to do, because Odeo, here was a good idea Ev Williams had. Why don't we do a podcast company, not make podcasts. We'll just have a directory and tell people how to download them, called Odeo, O-D-E-O. And that was such a flop, he ended up paying the investors back. He gave the investors back.
Yeah. Wow. Which is pretty amazing. Noah Glass, was that his name?
Noah Glass.
Yeah.
There's the man. You know what? You could probably get that from, the best book about Twitter is Nick Bilton's book about Twitter.
Hatching
and he talks
Twitter.
About that. Yeah.
Is that the name of it?
Hatching Twitter. Yeah, very good. Boy, you got a good memory.
Sometimes.
And Noah Glass was the guy who thought it up. But these guys were all there. Anyway, 16 years having a role at our company, from co-founder to CEO to chair to executive chair to interim CEO to CEO. Jack says, it's time for me to leave. Why? Well, no one knows. No one knows.
Well, actually, Dan Primack had a really good story
What's the theory?
So his theory is that Elliott Management was unhappy with it.
That happened last March.
And Twitter... They gave Elliott a board seat. Behind the scenes, Elliott had wanted new management and more product innovation. And I think they just kind of influenced the ask until they got it, is kind of his theory.
They pushed it and pushed it and pushed it.
Or Jack just
and
said
finally
enough.
It made sense
I've
to other
it.
People.
I'm
Plus,
rich.
Yeah, well, one of the things Elliott, which prove? Who Elliott, these folks, Elliott Management are what they call activist investors. They buy a stake in a company, big enough stake so they get listened to, and then they go in and they really do try to shake things up.
Clean house.
And one of the things they didn't like was the fact that Jack was splitting his time between Twitter and Square.
Yep.
Very his other company. So he's going to stay at Square. I think also... There's something to be said. Let me see if I bookmarked this.
Did you see how he says the whole founder-led is pretty much a problem nowadays?
Or becomes one at some point, kind of, right? Wasn't he kind of saying that it's okay for a while?
Who said that?
Jack said it. Right. That's in his message.
In that statement. Yeah.
I'm like, that's
there's
weird.
Also, I can't remember where I read it, but it was an article saying, well, it's interesting that all of these people are leaving just as soon as it becomes hard.
Exactly. Exactly. Stuff is hitting the fan and there's all kinds of controversy around your platform and people are calling you out because everybody has a megaphone to do so now. So, taking that money and running. That's all.
The new CEO, it's funny, the stock market, when they saw the rumor that Dorsey was leaving, Twitter's stock went up. And then as soon as they heard... who was replacing him, Parag Agrawal, they went, the stock tumbled.
Yeah.
He's a CTO, and the reason, the thinking is that the stock market didn't like it because he's an insider, and they wanted fresh blood. They wanted somebody who come and figure out what is really the challenge for Twitter, which is, given its success, its position in the mind share of America, not necessarily the number of users, because that's not really growing, but it should be doing better. It should be making more money. And why isn't it? That's what the stock market's asking. And they figure, well, Agrawal is just going to do the same thing. Is that how you say Agrawal?
I'm sorry. Agrawal?
It's A-G-R-A-W-A-L. So I'm saying it phonetically. Agrawal. But I don't know.
Wait, Jack founded Square.
Oh, along with Ev Williams.
Square.
Yeah. Square's Jack's baby. Yeah.
So he's.
There's a famous story of him going to a makerspace and actually 3D printing the first, because the whole thing about Square was you got the, when it first started for free, they'd send you the card reader that would go on your iPhone into the headphone jack. Remember those?
And, headphone jacks.
There's the stories. He would go to the makerspace, I think in the East Bay here, and 3D print them until he came up with one. I mean, he was very involved, in other words.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that because he was complaining about founder-led companies.
Right.
Well, he's still.
How old is Square versus Twitter? Mm. Isn't it much younger?
Square was founded in 2009.
Not that much.
He's gonna stay on the board for a little bit, but he really wants to leave. And he says, "I'm gonna leave because I don't want to be overseeing. You know, I want Parag to have his." You know, and by the way, this is a weird transition because usually there's months of preparing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave in June 1st. Nothing. Parag started that day.
This comes but they had like a long search going on, he said. So it's been going on for some time.
Okay. Brett Taylor will be the board chair.
Which I think is really, Brett got two jobs this week.
Yeah, he
Brett
did.
Brett is now the co-CEO of Salesforce and the board chair of Twitter. And Brett is a really good guy. In the Valley.
And co-CEOs are always a terrible idea.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
I want you to know this was my decision, says Jack. I own it. It was a tough one for me. I love this service and company and all of you so much. I'm really sad yet really happy. There aren't many companies that get to this level, and there aren't many founders that chose their company over their own ego. I know we'll prove this was the right move.
But then he also has cryptocurrency aspirations, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, interestingly... Mm-hmm. Parag Agrawal was also in charge of Twitter's crypto stuff. I presume still will be. CTO.
Well, the belief is he'll carry on Blue Sky in trying to come up with a distributed architecture, which is where I have the biggest hope. We've talked about it in the show a few weeks ago. I think there's a lot of hope for the next level of the internet in that kind of distribution, that kind of value-added layering.
From the point of view of a for-profit company, it's kind of hard to see how that helps Twitter be a successful company.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of value-added services they can put on top, which you'd pay for, which would get premium advertising, which could have commerce. I think there's ways to have basically scores of Twitters, is what I see with Blue Sky.
What about Ben Thompson's take?
I didn't have a day to read it. Can you summarize it?
He writes long stories.
For him,
bottom line,
he's brilliant. But
he says, it's actually quite interesting. He talks about Twitter's advertising problem, and I think he characterizes Twitter in a way that those of you who really love Twitter, and I'm talking about Stacy and Jeff.
I like Twitter as well.
Okay, so you two might agree with. He says Twitter is intense and combative. It's a lean-forward experience and far more likely to be tied to something happening in the physical world, whether that be watching sports or politics or doing work. In other words, you're leaning into Twitter. He says this matters for advertising, particularly advertising that depends on a direct response, which Twitter has been forced to resort to. When you're leaning back and relaxed, as in, say, Instagram, why not click through to that Shopify site to buy that knickknack you didn't even know you needed? How many times have I done that? When you're leaning forward, though, and I think this is true of Twitter users, you don't have the time or the inclination. If you're doing Twitter, you're really not clicking ad links.
You're seeking information, not entertainment.
Yeah, but I've got another theory.
Well, wait a minute. I'm not done. Let me give you all of Ben's theory before
Ben.
Yours.
I'm sorry. It takes a while. Yes, I'm sorry.
Hey, I'm saving you hours of reading, dude.
Thank you. Yeah.
This ties into Twitter's third big problem. I forgot what the first one was. This was 100,000 sentences ago. It ties into Twitter's third big problem. The number of people who actually want to experience the internet this way, in this lean-forward, active way, is relatively small. There's a reason that Twitter's user base is only a fraction of Instagram's. It's not a lack of awareness. For sure, everybody knows about Twitter. The reality is most people are visual. Twitter is textual.
Yep.
Which, of course, is exactly why Twitter's most fervent users can't really imagine going anywhere else. You three are the exact prototypes like that.
Yep.
So he says you're going to have a problem making money on Twitter in the old-fashioned way with advertising. He says, you know what? Twitter should bite the bullet and become a subscription service.
It did.
Well, fully subscription, paywall. Let's review. There's both little evidence that Twitter can monetize via direct response marketing. A reason to believe the problem is not simply mismanagement. I agree. I think it's structural. At the same time, Twitter is absolutely essential to a core group of users who are simply not unconcerned with the problems inherent to Twitter's model, public broadcast model, the abuse and mob behavior. They don't care about that, but actually find the platform indispensable for precisely those reasons. Twitter is where news is made, shaped, and battled over. And there's very little chance of another platform displacing it, in large part because no one's economically motivated to do so. They look at Twitter and go, well, yeah, I'm not doing that. So given this, why not charge for access?
This goes two things there. One is, I think you can, but if you have these value-added layers. And this is what Jack said when I said this on Twitter. He came back and said exactly. I said that Blue Sky thinks that the speech layer is going to be the commodified layer. And then you add value layers on there. I want to find the authoritative people. I want to find the entertaining people. I want to find the relevant things. I want to find stuff. And others can come along and create those value-added layers and charge for those. Charging for a place to go talk and blather? No, we got plenty of that.
Yeah.
But to go to the effort to find something on top, this is always what happens, right? It happened with I'm sorry, I'm going to say this, Gutenberg. It happened when we hit... the turn of the last century when magazines exploded. There's efforts to say there's a wealth of things going on. How do we find stuff? That's point one.
Here's the difference.
Point two. Oh, can I get...
Yeah. I didn't know you had 2 points. Go ahead.
I told you I did, and then you didn't let me look at before about the advertising.
I lost track of the points. Go ahead. Point two.
Okay. Simply put, the advertising on Twitter sucks because you feel like you've been fooled every time you click on it, which is not good. And I think that what Twitter should do is what BuzzFeed did and what Vice did in their days is they need to open their own agency where we say, we know how to make advertising that works on Twitter. You idiots don't. And they haven't done that. And they've got to invest in advertising that would be relevant or would be worthwhile to do something. The advertising is there. I always think, oh, I almost clicked on that. Oh, it was promoted. No, I'm glad I didn't. Those are my 2 points. Thank you very much for that.
I would submit that the reason your first point doesn't work is because Twitter is unique. So your first point, you're talking about an area where there's many different publications. But Twitter, I don't think there's anything like Twitter. Twitter is a unique experience. So I think anything that says let 1,000 flowers bloom is not the point. Everybody goes to Twitter because that's where it happens.
But there's a billion Twitters, though. You and I don't see the same Twitter.
No, I understand.
You hate it and I like it.
But there's still one Twitter. Even if it's customizable, you go to Twitter. You don't go somewhere else. In fact, I was just on Twitter and I saw somebody's name and I thought, is he dead?
Yep.
And the reason, you know, in the trending and in the and
I this never is, look at trending.
I hate
never.
Well, on the Twitter front page, it's there. I hate to say it.
I don't look at it.
I understand.
I never see it.
You're using it wrong. So anyway,
no, I'm the one who likes it. You're the one who's using it wrong.
No, I think most people, by the way,
about it.
And Twitter certainly would prefer this. Go to the website, the front page. That's how I use it. I actually use TweetDeck, and I don't see any of that stuff. But really, if you go to the front page, that's what you see. But that's the point. This is where it's happening. This is it. This is ground zero.
That's old mass media thinking. That's what they have to get rid of. I would get rid of trending entirely, and the idea that there is one Twitter and Twitter says Twitter left, Twitter did this is BS. There is no Twitter. There's a whole bunch of fascinating, amazing, wonderful, informative voices, along with some jerks and a-holes. And the point is to find the ones that you like and the ones that I like are going to be different, and that's okay. And there's value to be found in there.
Wait a minute.
So, yeah, but this isn't exactly like the old way of like, there's a New York Times. Twitter isn't monolithic in that sense. It's only monolithic in that it's all happening at Twitter.com. So I think it's the best of both worlds. It is absolutely whatever feed you want to make of it, but it all happens at Twitter.com. And because it all happens at Twitter.com, you can do that. You can conform it. And I tell you, this comes from my experience with Mastodon, which is a federated system. And there is no there. And so you have to actually actively figure out if you want to follow somebody interesting. You have to know about them. It's a completely different experience. On Twitter, it's all there. And it's trivial to add that person to your experience or take that person away from your experience. So I do think there's a lot to be said for the fact that it's a centralized one place.
When Harper's New Monthly started in 1850, they promised that, quote, it would be a place within reach. Its job would be to place within reach the great mass of American people, the unbounded treasures of the periodical literature of the present day. That's what we need for Twitter. And I think that
that's
there
what
is
Twitter
a role
is.
For that.
Isn't that what Twitter is?
No.
Except for the literature part, there's nothing longer than
my COVID list does that to an extent. Yes, but could I charge for my COVID list if you really wanted to know COVID stuff?
That's what I'm saying. You can't. Twitter
can.
Well, no, but under Blue Sky, I could.
I know, and that's what's not going to work.
And I'll do more development. It's like an API for content recommendation.
Well, we'll see. I think Ben's actually got it exactly right. Now, there's a challenge because if you start charging for something that's previously free, that's people who
I'm out.
But I think enough people like you guys are so addicted to Twitter that you would, it can't be like a lot. It's going to be like Twitter Blue, $2 or $3 a month.
Yeah.
I think they made a mistake by making Twitter Blue too little in terms of features, too few features, and they didn't require it. But I think you could – maybe you'd lose a third to a half of your users, but if you could somehow charge $3 a month and keep Twitter being the place where it happens, that's a great business.
Well, to their credit, Twitter Blue is still new. They're probably working on some more features for that $3.
They just didn't get – they didn't go far enough.
Yeah, your time.
And if you lose users, you lose some of the value of the platform because, yeah. I mean
– I don't think you lose the users that matter. The people who are most...
That's not true. The people who I follow that I find most interesting are not journalists and people like that. It's the people who are like small people who research FCC filings and, you know, experts in antenna design.
Book history wonks on my side.
Yeah, and they may not be willing to pay $3 a month.
Yeah.
One advantage of your plan is that Donald Trump wouldn't bother with Twitter if it were just people paying for it. Seriously.
That's wrong. The reason he loves Twitter is not because the base sees him on Twitter. It's because the media sees it and then amplifies
it. That's it. That's all it is. Narcissism.
I don't think the base is reading him on Twitter. I think the media is, and that's one of the reasons you use Twitter, because that's where the media is.
Yep.